Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in to this episode of The Eric Terrell Show. I really appreciate this. I begged people to listen to this episode. Now, I don't usually beg people to listen to my show, but this is an episode that I felt it necessary to urge you to listen, because nobody wants to hear this. Nobody wants to think about this. Nobody wants to accept this. Am I right, Asia Downing?
You are 100% right.
Yes.
I think we're all kind of in a state of denial a little bit right now.
Denial. Oh my God, a gaping fresh wound. I mean, words can't begin to describe the feeling that I had last night. And I know all of us were in a bad way when we found out, regardless, being that it was 2 a.m. And I feel like I found out in the worst way, because I had actually fell asleep. I wasn't trying to fall asleep, but I fell asleep around midnight. And I woke up at 4 a.m. I woke up at 4 a.m. to an acceptance speech. And I couldn't, even though I knew the trend was leading that way, I couldn't really believe my ears. Now, President Obama said months ago, "I do not believe Donald Trump will be the next president, because I believe in the American people." Now, what I would like to ask my incumbent president, do you still believe? I got to tell you, okay, I was against Colin Kaepernick sitting out the national anthem. I mean, there's police brutality. There's tons of things wrong with this nation. But I, like the president, believed. I believed in the good that we have. I believe in people like first responders and people who fight for unity and bipartisanship. I just believe in the American people, or at least I did. But I got to tell you what, today, thinking about the fact that we would have so many people vote for him, that I would sit out or sit down during the national anthem myself, because I don't know if I believe anymore in the American people. Now, I'm going to say right now something that may not be popular, or people may not be ready to hear this, at least not yet. But you know what? It's not the end of the world, okay? It's not the end of the world. I just feel a need to say
that,
first of all, go ahead.
People are just still in shock, and they really don't know what to do. I think it's just like an anxiety thing and a panic thing to just go into, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? We're going to, like, it's only November. Like, calm down, go to work.
Go to work.
Like, pay your bills. Send your kids to school.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a preparation thing. Like, I think we need to prepare, you know, for the worst. But it's just a lot for today. Like I said, it's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot for today. And it's a lot at one time. I mean, none of us got any sleep last night. All of us tried to stay up to see the results. And some of us failed to stay up, and we woke up to this news. Others found out in the middle of the night. We had to get up on little sleep. And, you know, it's bad when you have little sleep and you're miserable. You're tired and miserable, and you have to take that energy to work. And you got to work all day. You got to work,
yes.
And you got to see other people with a smile on your face, or at least attempt to smile. Now, It's almost like a few weeks ago when I stayed up for Sunday night football, knowing I had work the next morning. I stayed up all night for the Eagles to lose. Okay? But the difference is, first of all, the Eagles weren't expected to beat the Cowboys. And secondly, I mean, exactly. And the Eagles were going to play again the next week. The Eagles have a season ahead of them. The Eagles can still make the playoffs. I mean, this is 4 years that we have to tolerate this administration, because that's what it is now. It's not a campaign. It is an administration, and we have to tolerate it. Now, listen here. Okay, I'm going to let you go, Asia, my special guest is on the phone, and he's going to join us in a few short seconds after Asia lets us know how she really feels. But I want to say that this is clearly the biggest upset of all time in primary presidential election history. And, I mean, don't take this too seriously, but I'm not one for conspiracy theories. But it's just something to think about. The biggest billionaire pulls off the biggest upset of all time. He was projected to lose in half of the states in which he won. He lost all three debates. It got so bad at one point that his own party was begging him to drop out of the race. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. It's a shock thing. If you all of a sudden, it's not going to happen, and then it happens, like, come on. What's going on?
It can't be. You know what? I've created a little saying for myself that I use personally, and I've used this for years and years. I always say, you know what? I don't give up because I don't know how. And it's that simple. I don't give up because I don't know how. Now, like you said, Asia, it was denial. I mean, when it happened, it did feel like the world was over. The world was surely going to end. I mean, this is clearly Judgment Day that we're looking at in front of us. But no matter how dark it gets, no matter what happens next, you know, we don't know how to give up, which is the biggest reason that we can't give up. Okay, we've seen worse days. There were African Americans in our history, our ancestors, who would have dreamed of a president as good as Donald Trump. So let's find the good things to think about. Let's be positive. Asia, what's your biggest reaction here?
Well, of course, I said denial was one thing. To be honest, it was like a slap in the face to me, because as we talked before, I really don't think either of the candidates were going to be good for presidency. I didn't like either of them. I didn't really care for Hillary either, to be honest, and I definitely didn't care for Trump, because it goes in to show you that, like, if you have money, you can pretty much do whatever you want. And I don't think that he was taking this race seriously. Like, oh, I have money. Let me just run for president and see what happens. And he did. He just led all these people to believe that he was going to make all this change. And for views that I don't even really believe in. So, again, being against Trump, first of all, he's not for women, period. I'm a woman, so I want to put it out there, and I put it out there this morning on Facebook. I only say one post, and that's all I needed to say. It's not a racist thing. Racism has existed from the dawn of time. It happened. Acts of racism have happened during Obama's term, before, and it's going to happen after, unfortunately, until, you know, we actually decide to do something. So all I talk about that isn't really necessary, but he's not for women. He's not pro-choice. He's going to get rid of Planned Parenthood, you know, affordable child care, things that I'm concerned about. So that kind of what I've been thinking about today. You know, the wheels have been turning, but it's just today. Like, I had a little discussion, would you say, with some of my family members, and we really don't know what's going to happen. We don't
right.
know if he's going to mess up. We don't know if he's going to, you know, he's going to prove everybody wrong. So it's like a wonder of, like, it's a scary feeling of unknown. And I feel like that's where everybody's at right now. He could turn out to be a great president. I don't know. We don't know. But all I can say is
You know what? There is a possibility, and I'm bringing on my special guest in a few seconds. There is a possibility. There's a possibility that he, like you said, he can be a great president. Now, none of us believe that. None of us want to think that. But hey,
being a president, I feel like he's backed by he's not going to be really doing much of the work anyway. Like
right.
the president has. He brings ideas forth, and they either get passed or they don't. He don't have no damn idea. I'm sorry. He don't have no idea.
No, you're good.
He has no idea what he's doing. So his council and his vice president, who I'm a little more worried about, is going to bring forth these ideas. He'd be like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And then they're going to pass them. So he's just the forefront. I mean, it's insulting that these people did vote for him, but we looked at the numbers. We saw who did vote. We did come out and vote. I don't want people to blame black people. That's another thing. Because we did come out and vote. They just voted more. All those middle states, these country, uneducated people were led by this person they thought was going to change things. And they voted. Every single one of them came off their farm and voted. And that's how he got.
Yeah. So, I've got some interesting facts coming up, and we'll talk about your black people, or our black people. I just disown black people. We'll talk about our black people coming up. I love my black people. Sorry, black people. But we'll talk about that. I mean, I've had some very disappointing nights, politically and otherwise, but I haven't had a night as disappointing as last night in a very, very long time. And I probably won't for a long time. Listen here. Before it gets serious, it's about to get happy for a second, because this is a man that I haven't talked to in a very, very long time. And I really, really love this guy. We were very, 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 very good friends. Harkness Hall, H.H. Too Smooth. You know about that, Asia. You know what I'm talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
And he is joining us for the very first time on the Eric Terrell Show. He knows about political structure. All right, he's run for student government offices and many different government offices. And right now he's in school. Okay, now listen here. I need your help. I need your help, Jeremiah. Now you got your master's in African American literacy studies, right, at Southern Illinois University.
Yeah, English, yeah.
English. There we go. And now studying for your PhD.
Right.
At the University of Alabama. Okay, I got it right. Because I had got it wrong on the little description online. But there you go, Jeremiah Carter. What's up, baby? How you feeling?
Man, I'm pretty good. And yourself?
All right. It's good to hear from you, bro.
Likewise.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Now, before we get real, tell me something happy. What's good in your life that we can smile about? You're studying for your PhD. And
we still
God is doing it. That's good enough.
You know, because old folks say, as long as I have blood running warm in my veins, man. So we still here.
Yeah, because it felt like Judgment Day last night, but it wasn't. It was not. We are still here. So, what is your biggest reaction? Exactly.
Ooh, man, I'm still actually trying to gauge my own reaction. Last night, I was fortunate enough. Eric kind of spoke to some of, I guess, my political action. And I don't necessarily consider myself to be political, but one of the things that I did was I've just been here at University of Alabama for a semester, and so I've kind of tried to round up all of the black PhD students for a couple of events, and I hosted a watch party at my house last night, and we were here till about 3, just going back and forth till 3 a.m. And so part of my reaction was really based off of theirs, you know, because it's kind of hard to gauge your own. Well, it's hard for me to gauge my own. But just to witness how it affected this group of, and let's be honest, this is a privileged group of African-Americans. I mean, all of us in PhD programs teaching predominantly white students. Many of us went to various HBCUs and have worked our way up through that chain, through that line. But I'm at a loss because
right.
I thought he was going to win in June. And then I started to believe, I got a little hope, and I don't know how I let myself do that. But
right.
And then this happened.
You like our president. You believed, like I did. We all believed in the America. Right. We thought there was no way. Now, one thing I can say to you, bro, and to all of us, is that there was a way. Now, a gentleman named Alan Abramowitz, he is a political scientist, and based on a metric of presidential approval and GDP growth and the amount of years that each party has held the presidency, he predicted that Donald Trump would win the White House. He was right, clearly. He predicted that he would win at a voter a voting rate of 51% of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another thing he pointed to was the quote-unquote time for a change factor. Now, this just helps me to believe that maybe it was meant to be, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this factor is based on the fact that there has only been 2 consecutive terms of the presidency held by the same party. And those 2 terms was Franklin D. Roosevelt and Harry Truman in 1933 to 1952, and Ronald Reagan followed by George Bush in 1981 to 1992. So this is a thing that happens. I mean, it's Republican, it's Democrat, it's Republican, it's Democrat. So like Asia said, he could be a good president. I mean, who knows? Who knows?
Right.
Now, I don't believe he will, but I didn't believe he would become president. So beliefs, it's good to have beliefs, but our beliefs
right.
are constantly shattered. Is there any hope? Can you give us any hope, bro? What can we expect, do you think, from this upcoming administration?
Ooh, well, as far as the hope thing goes, and this may not even seem like hope to some people, but I will say that this really isn't new. You know, talking to my mother and just thinking about, I don't know if, you know, people use this term a lot, but the ancestors, especially the ones that were on this soil, I know that they in some ways had been used to people being in power that did not have their best interests at heart. And so, if anything, I believe that we're getting a taste of the bleakness that they were able to find some semblance of a life through. And so if there's any hope, then I would say that, you know, if they could, we can too. But
right.
as far as what we don't know, you know, I was reading a New York Times article earlier today as far as what we can expect. The truth is what you've said and Asia has repeated in just these last few minutes is that we don't know. What to expect. He's delivered promises, and I'm not campaigning for Hillary or anyone else right now, right? The vote is already in, so let's be clear about that. But the truth
right.
is he made promises and didn't give a plan. And so without that plan, that leaves a lot of room for uncertainty. And as basic as that sounds, that's our reality, right? We have these promises and nothing to look at to say, okay, well, here's how I'll get around that. Here's how I'll maneuver my family. Here's how I'll begin to start my family since we have an administration coming in who wants to do this. I mean, we're really in the black right now. And that seems to be the most dangerous and scariest part about the whole thing is how do you plan? Because we don't know. It'd be one thing if he said, well, here's how I'm going to do this or that. And that particular Times article gets into those specifics or lack thereof. But, yeah, there's so much uncertainty here.
Yeah, we've got to find things. Right. We've got to find some good things to think about. I mean, it would be nice to just lay around and complain and doubt him. That would be cool. But, I mean, we all believe, I mean, even though we may not believe in the people, we may not believe in him, but we believe our president. And what our president said today was good. I mean, he said that we're all a part of one team, and that's true. That's true. There's been a lot of times growing up when we may have hated the captain of the team, but if he's the captain of the team and you want your team to win, you've got to get behind your team captain. You got to do what you got to do. And maybe at the end of the day, we can still live the words of Michelle Obama: when they go low, we go high. I mean, maybe we can still go high by killing him with kindness. Oh, I can't believe I'm saying this stuff. Oh, this is ridiculous.
Look,
Yeah. Oh, because I really don't like him. I really don't. But I'm trying here. This is tough for me.
Man, we appreciate it. We appreciate it.
Asia, you got anything for us? Asia, she's still here. Listen, bro. Now, I immediately said last night that I'm done, like looking at CNN for months, years. I'm done. My days of following politics, my days of being interested in the government, in politics, are over. But, I mean, as we're saying here, you know, we've gotta hold on to that as well, because first of all, and I don't know, like, I still don't know who voted for this guy. I mean, non-educated whites, okay, but how many non-educated whites are there, really? But
come on,
but whatever.
See, I'm gonna tell you like this. I'm from the South, you know. I'm born and raised in Texas, and coming back down to UA to get my PhD. These people do exist. Now, I'm not going to say the uneducated group is at the University of Alabama. That's not what I'm saying at all. Because it's a university, an institution of higher learning. But these people really exist. And they exist clearly in our Midwest as well. And they had a fear, whether legitimate or not. Now, we can talk about illegitimate fears and irrational fears. But these people exist. And they voted.
They're here.
You can't tell me they're not there. Cause, I mean, I was raised knowing that they exist and watching and looking over my back for them, you know.
They're here. And you know what? You know, it wasn't only them. It wasn't only them. I don't think there's enough non-college educated white people to make him president, and there were numbers. What website is this that I found this on? Is this MSN.com? MSN.telegraph.co.uk. Now, what had Hillary Clinton not only failed to bring them on board, okay, and we knew we would fail there, but if you really think about it, we failed to win over black, Hispanic, and female voters. This is what we're learning. I mean, black, Hispanic, and female voters in this election. Are you kidding me? You know, and it's, when I say she failed to win them over, we had the majority, but we needed more of a majority. The fact is, and this is a fact, they voted more for Obama than they voted for Hillary. Now, Obama's better at politics than Hillary Clinton, but Obama wasn't facing against Donald Trump. You know, I mean, the female vote, are you serious? Now, Hillary Clinton got 54% of the female vote. Trump got 42% of the female vote. Now, if you compare that to 2012, Obama got higher than 54. He got 55%, and Romney got higher than Trump got. He got 44%. Trump got 42%. So the numbers went down for the female vote, and the same happened for the African-American vote. 88% voted for Obama, and or 93% voted for Obama. Of course, he's African-American. But only 88% voted for Hillary. What do you make of this? Is this, I mean, or is it just the non-educated white people where we fail?
Actually, I don't see that one really falling with African Americans, even though the numbers did shift, and they shift in a very understandable way. And the jump was what, maybe 12%? I know in the grand scheme of things that may be a large number, but I think that untapped one was that Latino vote. I think that much more should have been put there. When it comes to women, and this is because I'm not a political scientist. But
right.
I am, I've been an English major and briefly studied, so don't get me to lying, but briefly studied, feminism, feminist movements, and even just oppression in a very general sense, is I'm not surprised that women or white women didn't vote for Hillary. Because one of the terms that continues to come up in class is that women will keep women in line. Just like for us in the black community, we're familiar with the HNIC or the overseer having one black person of elevated status to keep the rest of them in line. We'll talk about the way that
right.
women judge each other's dress, right? And so women keeping women in line, there's really a form of oppression that's going on there. And it's a very slight, when you have an oppressed group, even if it's just a taste of some type of self-hate, you know, the way that they would not vote for her, even though it seemed like Mr. Trump was saying some very egregious things towards women or held these sentiments to himself. So I'm not really surprised at that as well, when you understand how oppression does people. But that untapped group, I think, was really the Latino vote. And or I should say perhaps one of the failures of her campaign was to not get them registered and target them and a more progressive and aggressive way. I think that
Definitely.
That's what could have been the tipping point. I understand why the African Americans went down. We went down about 12% because we didn't have some of us didn't feel like we had a horse in the race, right? But we didn't go down dramatically. And then you have women. When you understand oppression, you kind of see why they wouldn't go after her. But the group that could have made that up, I think, would have been that Latino vote if they had have gone for them more aggressively, if they could have. I don't know if they could have, but I think that that's what could have made the real difference. And I'm not blaming them, by the way.
No. That could have made the difference. What sticks out to me more than anything is the black people. And I know you think that or at least you say that you can understand why the black vote went down as opposed to the black vote in 2012. But the shocking thing is that the same number, if not more, black people voted. I mean, it's not like the number of black votes went down. No, we got the same, like black people still came out. We came out, but they just voted at a lower percentage in favor of the Democrat, which shocks me more than anything. I mean, they're more fans of Donald Trump that are black than black fans of Mitt Romney. No, but
I'm not surprised again.
Yeah, exactly.
We call them the white sheep in the family, right? You know, everybody else has the black sheep. That's the white sheep in the family, and we have some. We have some. These people are not myths and figments of our imagination. There are these people, and we have many terms for them that are, you know, I won't call out here, but these people exist, you know.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And I'm just
that's
glad
true.
That percentage wasn't higher, to be honest.
Right, right. Now, the last thing I want to throw at you, bro, is
okay.
And I talked about before how I hate well, hearing him talk, and I just hate the idea of turning on CNN at this time. And I said, you know what, my days of following politics are done. And then I realized that I don't have to watch it. I can read the news. That's a lot easier to take in at a moment like this, because you have to know things. You know, I can read the news. I don't have to listen to it on the radio or watch it on the television. And I'm still never going to listen to him speak. That's out of the question. His whole presidency, I'm going to try my best to just never hear him speak. I'm just going to read his words on social media news or on my news.
Because it's not like you're going out and saying, I mean, I don't know, you know, the demographic of your listeners or the age, but you're clearly not saying that you're washing your hands of it completely. But you are monitoring the ways in which that you consume the news, and I think that's very interesting and creative, and something that we could all do, especially in the social media age, right? Is just kind of be
right.
proactive and alter the ways in which we consume. But continue. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead. No, you're right. I mean, these are ways that we can tolerate him. We have to learn how to tolerate him. Like I said before, you're going to tolerate your team captain or you're going to leave the team. Unless you want to play against the team. I mean, if you're not for America, you're against America. You're not moving. I mean, everybody said, oh, he becomes president, I'm going to move. Well, then move. I bet you you won't. You're not going to move. You're not going to move. So if you're going to have any kind of joy, if you're going to have any kind of happiness, then we have to find ways to tolerate him. And, I mean, well, and another reason that we have to listen to the news, or I have to listen to the news, is because I'd rather listen to something that will give me facts. Because who would you rather listen to? I mean, because people are going to talk. Are you going to listen to Facebook? Are you going to listen to what people are saying around you? Or are you going to get the closest thing to real facts that you can get from the news? But anyway, that's me trying to cope, trying to tolerate our next president and his supporters. Is there any other ways we can help tolerate him? And let me know, bro, in what ways can we best push towards any kind of sense of syncretism or unity as a nation once again, since apparently we're being great again?
Whew. Well, I think that, I don't have the answer, let me be clear. But I will say that I think we have to face this moment of division, right? And perhaps we're trying to move towards this healing without actually, or trying to be healed without going through the process of healing. I say that to say that perhaps we're trying to be unified on, we talk about this unity without everyone being able to admit that we're divided. We're divided. And we should take some time to really work on that and think about that, ponder that, brood on that, and consider why that is, you know, before we try to put the cart before the horse, so to speak. And I don't have an answer for how we do it, but I don't think that moving too fast beyond it, because this thing, this racism, this division, is something that we've always had. And I will say that Donald Trump's, he has been true to his word in this. While we can debate how great America was at one point, he's taking us back. And it's not to a place that we haven't been before. It's to a place that we've been before. And to explore this moment, not as something new, but something that is very much a part of our past, a sad past, a sad history. But he's delivered on that. Even in this moment, he's taken us back. We're feeling feelings, or at least partially of what those before us have felt. And we have to admit that this isn't coming out of nowhere. You know, the division, right, the feeling as a result of the division, this is ingrained in our society, in our culture, and it's not a right now thing. And so I think that,
yeah,
we should really think of it in those terms. And perhaps maybe we'll find some type of way to cope. You know, maybe we don't do it in the same way that our ancestors did, or those who came before us. But perhaps we'll find something to glean from the lessons of the past that will give us something positive to build on, especially in bleak moments like this.
Awesome. Yeah, awesome. Awesome words. I mean, like I said before, it's Republican, it's Democrat. It always flops back and forth. I mean, our parents have hated their presidents before. This is not, like you said, a new thing. This is not a new thing. So if you're young, get used to hating your president, because that's a new feeling for young people. But,
hey, but let's appreciate that 8-year moment that we had, right?
Exactly. Dr. Seuss said, don't cry because it's over, but smile because it happened. We did have a black president. That's a thing that did happen.
We had somebody that we thought loved us, you know.
It's better to have loved and lost than to have never loved your president at all. Okay. No, that's
for a little while, you know.
Right. We can't have it all. Nobody can have it all.
Right.
Okay. So let's be happy. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Okay. Thank you so much, bro. Listen here.
Yeah.
I'm praying for us and our country. I'm also praying for Brock Osweiler. Your quarterback has been doing terribly.
let's not talk about it.
I just want to mess with you before we leave. I just, I know. Listen, it's bad when you don't have a horse in the race. You know, politically and in sports, like your team's bad, your party's losing. It's all right.
Because if you remember, you know, I had an affinity for the Patriots, and then Belichick came out and endorsed Trump. And see, my heart is all over the place, because when I was coming along, Houston didn't have a team, right? So I liked the Patriots. I enjoyed the Patriots, you know, but I patronized the Texans because that's the home team. That's whose paraphernalia I bought. So my heart is torn sometimes, and now I have to let the Patriots go because I'm just hurt.
You know what I'm realizing right now? I realize this whole thing is Bill Belichick's fault, right? I mean, he's a winner. He endorsed Trump.
I think I got a little bit of a beer. Don't do it, then. Don't do it. Give me some more time.
Oh, man, listen, I thank you so much for joining me. And Asia, I thank you too, wherever the hell you are. I know you got disconnected, but I love my co-host, and I love all of you. I love all of you for joining us on this tough, tough episode. And love is all we need. Sometimes it's all we got, but love is all we need. Love is the most important thing. Love. Love yourself. Love other people. Love the truth. And love. You know, it's not hard to love love. All you've got to do is love God, because God is love.
Yes,
and
sir.
God did it. Okay? God did it, baby. That's it. Go Texans, go Eagles.